On the other side of the planet Earth, way up in the Arctic, is Pearl, another outfit measuring those telltale signs of change. Kimberly Strong is a professor of physics at the University of Toronto.
PEARL stands for the Polar Environment Atmospheric Research Laboratory. And this is a research station that we've set up at Eureka, which is in the high Arctic in northern Canada. It's at 80 degrees north. It's about 1,100 kilometers south of the North Pole. And we have about 24 instruments up there that are measuring the atmosphere from the ground up to about 100 kilometers, measuring gases in the atmosphere, winds, temperatures, aerosols, clouds, really trying to characterize the Arctic atmosphere and to work out why it is the way it is, how its chemistry and physics is changing, and how it may evolve in the future.
Any communities up there, or are you on your own?
The nearest community is Grease Fjord, which is about 400 kilometers south. There's also one community a little bit further north of us, a military base at Alert. But Eureka itself, it's basically a weather station and our lab. And so Environment Canada keeps about 8 people there year-round. And then we have a couple of operators, 1 or 2 operators on site year-round as well. And then we send up teams of up to 10 or 12 people on campaign basis.
Is it true that it's the northernmost place from which you can actually get communications still going electronically?
Yes, so we have our own telecommunications facility. We've installed a satellite dish there. It's pretty much just on the edge of where you can see geostationary satellites. So, for example, the military base, which is a bit further north, they have to run their communications over the ground from Eureka. In fact, they have their own dish at Eureka as well, and they run a ground line from there to Alert. And so, yeah, we're just on that edge, which is great for us because it means that we can use satellite communications to get all our data down south a bit more quickly than we can by mailing discs and DVDs and things.
Well, what sorts of things are you measuring? The atmospheric gases, plumes, or what?
Yes, so my interest is atmospheric gases. So we're looking at all kinds of different gases, ozone and gases involved in ozone depletion, looking at pollutants that get transported to the Arctic from Siberia, from North America, from Europe. What we do is we look at absorption of sunlight or absorption of radiation emitted by the atmosphere, because every gas has kind of its own distinct fingerprint. And so if you can measure the absorption of a particular gas, you can work out how much of it is in the atmosphere.
And what about this question of ozone depletion in the north? We've obviously been thinking about it very much in the south, where the great big hole. Is there a hole similarly in the north?
We don't have an ozone hole in the north, and that's largely because it doesn't get quite as cold, and that's because the circulation patterns in the north are not quite as stable as they are over Antarctica, where you have that big landmass surrounded by ocean. So in the Arctic, we do see ozone depletion. It can vary quite a lot from year to year, and whether you have a lot of depletion or not really depends on the circulation patterns and how cold the atmosphere has become and whether the chemical conditions are just right for ozone loss. So we certainly do see depletion every year, and what we're interested in keeping an eye on is the recovery of the ozone, because we're phasing out the gases that have been causing ozone depletion, the chlorofluorocarbons, and certainly measurements show that their concentrations are leveling off, so we're doing the right thing. But it will take ozone a little while. There's kind of a lag in terms of the ozone recovering. And so we want to kind of keep an eye on, is it going to recover at the rate that's predicted? And so one of the things that we're doing at Eureka is measuring ozone and the gases that are involved in controlling the ozone budget.
Now, the innocent and rather hopeful people would imagine that the air up in the Arctic is pristine. But you gave a hint that you can actually measure plumes. In other words, is it burning forests coming from Siberia? You can actually pick up the chemicals coming from those?
Yes, that's correct. With one of our instruments, which measures in the infrared part of the spectrum, you can measure quite a number of different gases. And so we can detect things like carbon monoxide, ethane, that are produced in forest fires. And so using satellite images, we can track back where the plumes that we measure come from. And so we have very clearly seen plumes from biomass burning events in Siberia come over Eureka. And we see plumes coming, as I said, as well from North America, as well as Europe. And so the kind of natural circulation patterns of the Earth's atmosphere bring all kinds of interesting things over the so-called pristine Arctic. And so we can also measure things like aerosols, little particles that are emitted from forest fires.
Smoke.
Smoke, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what does that tell you, measuring them? You can pick up the traces, but what can you learn from the increase or otherwise of forest fires?
The question is how much pollution there is in the Arctic and where it's coming from. And that has implications for policy in terms of, less so with forest fires, because you can't really control those so well, but with man-made chemicals, where are they coming from? Do there need to be tighter regulations? And so there's a lot of work going on in monitoring some other pollutants as well as forest fires. The forest fire signal is quite a clear one for us to measure with our instrument, but there are other instruments that can measure other types of pollutants as well.
So while we're talking about all these grand big policy issues such as global warming, CO2 increases and so on, and we're trying to work out what's really happening in the air. Your kind of measurement is basic to that, isn't it?
Yes, so one of the instruments we use is infrared spectrometer. It's a very powerful instrument. You can do very accurate measurements of quite a large number of different gases. And so just recently we've upgraded our instrument to add carbon dioxide to our list. And I just spent some time at the University of Wollongong in Australia working with colleagues in the chemistry department there to implement the data analysis protocols that are being used, because they have similar instruments at Wollongong and at Darwin. And everyone is trying to use exactly the same data analysis protocols to make sure that we're doing measurements in a very consistent way.
Isn't it interesting that you've got way up in the Arctic, near the North Pole, you've got links even with south coast of New South Wales and the University of Wollongong. That's how did you get on there?
Well, a colleague, Dave Griffith, at the University of Wollongong, runs two similar instruments, one at Wollongong, one at Darwin. And another colleague, Claire Payton Walsh, uses these measurements to investigate biomass burning. Dave Griffith was one of the founders of this Total Carbon Column Observing Network. And it's all part of trying to understand the global atmosphere.
Tell me, when you're up in Pearl, near the North Pole, spending weeks, months there, what's it like?
Yes, so in summer it actually can be quite a busy place. There's a military base nearby, you get explorers coming through, you get rangers who are out on training exercises. We've had a lot of activity up there in recent years for mapping the seafloor as part of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. And so it actually can get pretty crowded in summer. Facilities are quite nice because it is so isolated. The only way to get there is by a chartered aircraft. So you fly in on a small airplane, either from Yellowknife or from Resolute Bay, and that's, you know, 2-3-4 hour flight. And so they try to make sure that the food's great. All the students who go up there love it, and usually they're pretty keen to go back, and it's just a very, very special place.
A special place to see what the planet's atmosphere is really doing. Kimberly Strong, one of the global network of scientists in faraway places, even Wollongong, where they're watching and measuring. And this is The Science Show on ABC Radio National.